ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 9 चैप्टर 11 टेक्स्ट 6। अप्रतम्नस्त्वया किं नो भगवान् भुवनेश्वरा यन्नोऽन्तर्हृदयं विश्य तमोहंसि स्वरोचिषा। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। ओ लॉर्ड, You are the master of the entire universe. What have you not given to us? You have entered the core of our hearts and dissipated the darkness of our ignorance by your effulgence. This is the supreme gift. We do not need a material donation. Purport. When Dhruva Maharaj was offered a benediction by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he replied, O my Lord, I am fully satisfied. I do not need any material benediction. Similarly, when Prahlad Maharaj was offered the benediction by Lord Narasimhadeva, he also refused to accept it and instead declared that a devotee should not be like a vanik, a mercantile man who gives something in exchange for some profit. One who becomes a devotee for some material profit is not a pure devotee. Brahmanas are always enlightened by the Supreme Personality of Godhead within the heart. Sarvasya chaham hrdeshanyavishto mattas mrtrigyanam apohanam cha. And because the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas are always directed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they are not greedy for material wealth. What is absolutely necessary, they possess, but they do not want an expanded kingdom. An example of this was given by Vamanadev. Acting as a brahmachari, Lord Vamanadev wanted only 3 paces of land, aspiring to possess more and more for personal sense gratification is simply ignorance. And this ignorance is conspicuous by its absence from the heart of a Brahmana or a Vaishnava. Oh my, seek the blessings of the Vaishnavas to say something on this verse. Lord Ram gave in charity practically everything what he possessed to the Brahmanas. For a king, the most important item is his kingdom. Without that, he won't be even called as a king. But here Lord Ram gave everything what he possessed to the Brahmanas. And it's not that Lord Ram is expecting that they are going to return it back. Probably if the Brahmanas would not have returned it back, he would be without a kingdom. He and Sita. But nevertheless, in those ages, the kings had the mentality of giving in charity to the qualified people, and the Brahmanas possess the good mentality of not accepting more than what they need, which is contrary to the Kali Yuga, where people who have doesn't want to give, and people, those who don't have, they want everything what others have. Probably if this would have been the case at that time, then the kings would have been a tough time. So, the pure devotional service demands, as we as a description says, anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karmadi anavritam. No material motivation. Prabhupada gives examples of Dhruva Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj here, how they are without any personal motivation, they are performing pure devotional service. In fact, it is said that if a sadhaka devotee who has the faith, who has the understanding that Supreme Lord is the ultimate protector, and after having this understanding, if he goes to another source for his material or spiritual maintenance, then it is said the Lord feels very hurt in his heart. It is like a king or rich man who has so much wealth, and the son who possesses everything of his father's property, in order to get some very cheap item, he goes to a neighbor who is against his father and asks from him a petty thing. So if that happens, the king or father feels very hurt that I have got everything what I have, but my son, instead of asking me, going to somebody and asking a petty thing from him. So how the father or a king will feel hurt that I am ready to give everything, but he is not asking me, he is asking some pauper in the street for a petty thing. How much the father will feel hurt, or a king will feel hurt? That much is what the Lord feels. Whatever you want, I am ready to give. But if you are approaching a demigod or approaching another materialistic person for your needs, then it is like a prince hurting his father king, asking somebody else for his needs. So that is the important principles, basic principles of pure devotion service. It stands on the principles of ananya arhatvam. That means that I am completely belongs to the Supreme Lord. And ananya bhogyatvam, that my enjoyment, I don't enjoy anything other than the Lord's pleasure. And I won't be the object of enjoyment other than the Lord and his devotees. These are the very important principles of pure devotional service. That I am an enjoyable object, that I should be enjoyed only by the Lord or his devotees. And my source of enjoyment should be only serving the Lord and his devotees. So these are reciprocal relation between Lord and his devotees. So we see in the pastimes of the Supreme Lord, this particular factor comes again and again. The other day we heard from Shyamananda Prabhu as well as Govind Prabhu. They made a point about pure devotional service. He said Ravana is representing the tendency of I am the enjoyer, selfishness. Govind Prabhu mentioned about the Ramayana is filled with characters of selflessness. So if you see the whole pastimes of Lord Ram, that it seems like Lord Ram descended to the material world to relish these different relations of selflessness. And the whole throughout Ramayana, if we divide the whole Ramayana into two categories, selfishness and selflessness, these things stands out. We will just see for a few minutes some examples on this of different characters. We see from Dashrath Maharaj, from Kaushalya and other brothers of Lord Ram, they exhibited these qualities of selflessness. It is said when Lord Ram was announced that he has to go to the forest, before that Lord Ram was going to the place of ritualistic ceremony, because the next day he is going to be the king. So with a smiling face, he was going to the place of the ceremony. And when the ceremonies are performed, he was given a message that Dasharatha Maharaj is calling Lord Ram to the place of Kaikeyi's palace. So Lord Ram goes with a smiling face. And that unfortunate event takes place. Dasharatha Maharaj announces what he wants from Lord Ram. Or he doesn't even speak. Kaikeyi speaks on behalf of Lord Dasharatha Maharaj. And it is said Lord Ram's face was as beautiful, as smiling as before he heard the news. So that is one of the important point which is noted by all the great acharyas who study Ramayana, that Lord Ram, it's not that he doesn't have emotion and he's like a stone. You know, sometimes we hear that spiritual life means just, you know, smile in all situation. No, here Lord Ram is not disturbed because on his personal life there seems to be some inconvenience, but he's not worried about his own personal life. Again, selflessness. In fact, Lord Ram is saying that, you see, now I got married to Sita, and taking this kingdom, responsibility to the kingdom is a big responsibility. And as we heard in the previous Bhagavatam class, that Lord Ram has two roles, as a husband and as a person himself, and also as an exemplary king. So as an exemplary king, he is looked by the whole citizens. So many things he has to do, even though he doesn't want to do. Such things like banishing Mother Sita, he doesn't want to do, or testing the purity of Mother Sita. So many things in his heart, he doesn't want to do those things, but he has to do as a responsible king, because people are looking unto him as a leader. So he saw, okay, now I am going to be the king. That is like a heavy responsibility. So it is actually Mother Kaikeyi's mercy on me that I am given some more holidays from taking this heavy responsibility. I will go into the forest with my wife, and she's arranged this in such a way that I can have my married life as a picnic in the forest. So that was his heart. What for ordinary persons a tragedy is a pleasure, a trip for Lord Ram. And after this happened, Lord Ram comes back, and Kaushalya, she was practically devastated to hear that Ram is going to forest. And with so much of difficult heart, finally she gives her words of protection, that may you be protected in the forest. And then Lakshmana, he feels in his heart he couldn't take this. He was practically speaking very much bad against Kaikeyi, but Lord Ram corrects him. Then Lakshman tells, my dear Lord, that I will be also coming with you to the forest. Here Lakshman says that he compares himself to a fish. He says, myself and Sita cannot live without you, just like fish cannot live without water. And Lord Ram tells Lakshman that, Lakshman, I am going to the forest, and you should not suffer unnecessarily, you should stay back. And Lakshman tells that your heart is like an ocean of nectar, and a fish residence place is in the water. So if you say that I should not come with you, that word is compared to the drying up of the water in the heart. So the fish can live only as long as it has some water on its body. So your word of telling me not come to the forest is like that of a last trace of moisture I see in the heart of the ocean of your heart. And if this is what your word, the ocean is dried up, I can't live any further, I will die. So better, instead of me dying, you change your sentence from the heart and fill it with water again by saying that, okay, you also come with me. So that was his heart. Because it is not that Lakshman is obliged to go to the forest. He was not asked to do. But he had that, and in fact, Lakshman was so greedy and so happy in one sense, because he is saying, that he is thinking that if I stay in the kingdom in Ayodhya to serve Lord Ram, there are hundreds and thousands of people, and for me, the service opportunity is very less. But it is great that Lord Ram is going to forest, and let me also go with him. There is no competition for me to serve. That's why Lakshmana is called Lakshmano Lakshmi Sampannaha. Lakshmi refers to the opulence. And what is the great opulence of Lakshmana? Lakshmana's great opulence is the service to the Supreme Lord. He is Ananta Shesh himself. The service attitude is personified by him, that he is feeling so greedy that I don't have to miss any service. Sometime, like we are doing subjugating, such kind of subjis comes. We think that which group have more people, you know. Probably we want to join there, especially when the Bhagavatam class ends little earlier, before time. The devotees who are sitting on this will, devotees start leaving, and we want to make sure that others are sitting and doing the job. otherwise the amount of subji is too much. It takes so much time for cutting. Of course, these are practical problems. But nevertheless, the stage of competition for service is not in the envious mode that I want to get the credit, but genuine service attitude. Sense gratification of Lakshman is sacrifice and service. That is his greatness. And Lakshman is, it is said, when Lord Ram lost the opulence of the kingdom, when Lord Ram lost Rajya Samrajya, the kingdom of Ayodhya, Lakshmana gained the soul Samrajya, Rajya of whole and soul service to Lord Ram. So it says Lord Ram lost his kingdom, but Lakshman got his kingdom of exclusive service to Lord Ram. So that is his greatness. And on the other hand, it is not that other brothers of Lord Ram are less in selfless service to Lord Ram. Bharat, even though at the time when Lord Ram was banished to forest, he was not present in Ayodhya, but nevertheless, he took his love for Lord Ram is on another phase. In fact, the Acharyas give gradations from different angles point of view, that love for Lord Ram's devotees to Lord Ram, of different faces it has, and everything has its uniqueness. Bharat, he did the big sacrifice because he was actually, in one sense, was a target of anger by the people of Ayodhya, because of him Lord Ram is going to forest. So Bharat underwent this trauma of a possible target of doubt by the people of Ayodhya and others who loved Lord Ram. So he took the, one sense, unthankful task of, even Vasishtha Muni was trying to convince Bharat he should become a king. Bharat was really upset that I am already miserable that Lord Ram went to forest. My own mother have done this, all these things. And on top of that, you are giving me more misery by putting the crown on my head. So Bharat was really, even in fact, he was speaking heavy against Vasishtha also, that why are you doing this, that you are dropping the crown on my head. The crown on Bharat's head, even when the name he's hearing, the crown is like a mountain is falling on his head. That was his misery of accepting the throne. In fact, the word Bharata was given by Vasishtha Muni. It says Bhara Vahati Iti Bharata. He is holding the burden of the kingdom on his head, because when Lord Ram went to the forest of Ayodhya, Bharat took the responsibility of the kingdom. So that responsibility of being a king, so to say, is actually, Bharat is feeling that like a heavy burden on his head. We often give the example of if a rich man is told to carry a trunk full of, you know, bricks, it is like a heavy load for him. He says, who will carry this? You know, I am a rich man. But if he says that, if he is informed that trunk full of brick is actually gold brick, he said, no, 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 I don't mind, I'll carry myself. So that is a burden, but it's a burden of love or burden of the heart, cherished desire. But here the kingdom is, there are three kinds of desires. The desire for land, the desire for wealth, and desire for women. So these are the three greatest material desires one can possess in the material world. But Bharat was offered this alluring opportunity of whole king, unrivaled king for Ayodhya. He did not take this as a great opportunity to enjoy, but he took this as a burden. I had to take this burden on behalf of my brother Lord Ram. That's why Bharat is glorified as a personality who accepted, but he accepted his responsibility. He was glorified to accept the responsibility, but he did not enjoy the facility of a king. He was staying in Nandigram, outskirts of Ayodhya, kept Lord Ram's shoes on the Sinhasan, and he was practically doing even more austerities than Lord Ram in the forest. It was said that Bharat would get up early in the morning and he'll walk to the Sarayu river and he would take bath in the cold water, because he felt so ashamed that even before the common public comes, I don't want to show my face to the common public of Ayodhya, because I am the person who is the cause of Lord Ram going to forest. He would go early in the morning, take his bath and come back to his place. So that much cold water bath and not eating any, he was practically taking barley soaked in cow urine all throughout, sleeping on the not even on the grass but bare floor. So such a severe austerities Bharat performed. But it is not that he is in a lamentable condition. Sometimes when we see there are some difficulties we undergo, we may tend to become depressed, and the depression transforms into inaction in our spiritual or material duties, and that's called depression. But here Bharat's lamentation and his humility did transform into inaction for his own pleasure, sense gratification, but it did not stop his responsibility of not doing his duty. He performed his duty as a king with no compromise. The kingdom was flourishing. There is no problem in the kingdom as a duty of a king. So he took the responsibility on behalf of Lord Ram, but he did not enjoy the facility. Sometimes we struggle that we won't have facility to perform our duties. But here Bharat is exemplifying the service attitude of performing his service, his duties, as a loving reciprocation with Lord Ram, but without enjoying any of the facility. Shatrughna is another selfless character in Ramayana. He could have actually, as he loved Lord Ram, he could have actually go to the forest with Lord Ram. But Shatrughna is glorified by the Acharyas that he exemplifies another unique relation with Lord Ram. His service attitude is even more greater compared to Lakshman and Bharat, they say. Because Shatrughna preferred to serve a devotee who was attached to Lord Ram. In fact, when Lakshman went to forest, he his service attitude is that he want to serve Lord Ram the way he wanted. I want to come to forest, I want to serve you. Lord Ram told him that you stay back in the in Ayodhya, but he said that I want to come and serve you. He was practically behind Lord Ram. And he went to forest to serve Lord Ram, because that's what he desired. But Shatrughna and Bharat, in that matter, he served Lord Ram the way Lord Ram wanted him to do. Because Lord Ram wanted to go back and stay in Ayodhya and take care of the kingdom. So in one sense, Bharat is glorified in service attitude than Lakshman. Of course, when we're discussing about these gradations, we should be careful not to judge this great association of the Lord. It is just gradations based on the rasa or gradations which we can assume in our own spiritual life, that the different ways of service are important for different kinds of devotees. For Lakshman, going with Lord Ram is the best service he can do, which is important, which is pleasing Lord Ram. But nevertheless, for a sadhaka devotee, if a service tells us that we should stay away from our object of service, then our object of service, in a sense, from Krishna or from our spiritual master, and that is at the time requires that, and that is considered to be greater than our demand that I want to be with the Supreme Lord or the place we want to be or with the spiritual master. So in that sense, for a sadhaka who are in that situation of that at the time that we need to serve in separation, then Bharat exemplifies the character that he served his cherished object of service, Lord Ram, in separation. So Bharat served Lord Ram in separation, taking responsibility of Lord Ram's kingdom. Shatrughna is glorified because he is assisting or serving Bharat, who is actually taken the responsibility of Lord Ram, who is gone far away. In fact, it is said when Bharat was called by his uncle Yudhajit to his kingdom, he was called Bharat alone. He did not give a separate invitation for Shatrughna. But when in those times in the Kshatriya family, if a prince or a king is going out of the palace, they would not just go like that. They would find which particular, time he is leaving the palace. According to his birth star, they see this astrological chart. And this particular time, he should leave the palace. So when Shatrughna was asked to go to the palace of his uncle, the Ramayana says, Gachata matulakulam bharatena tadanaga Shatrughno nitya Shatrughno niti priti puraskritaha. It is said, when Bharat was going to his uncle's place, they found a particular time which is matching to his star. But it is said that when Bharat went, Shatrughna also went with him. So when Bharat was going, they saw a particular star, and when Shatrughna was going at the same time with Bharat, they did not see any particular time which is matching to Shatrughna's star, birth star. So the acharyas are saying that Shatrughna did not bother about seeing a separate auspicious time according to his birth star to go with Lord Ram, because his attitude to Bharat is like that of a paratantriya. Paratantriya means that I am whole and sole object belong to my master. Just like when we are going to some outside place, maybe sometime we see which is auspicious time to go out according to the astrological chart. The Vedic systems recommends that especially for those who are not fully surrendered to the Supreme Lord or following devotional service. As a Vedic rule, one sees the astrological chart. And when such a person goes out on particular time, he sees this is a time I should go for my duty, which is auspicious time. But when he walks, he doesn't see a separate time for his possession, such as, let us say, he is carrying umbrella. So what is auspicious time for umbrella to go out? Or what is auspicious time for the watch I am wearing on my hand to go out? No, he just sees the time for him to go out, and his whatever object he possesses also goes out with him at the same time. So Shatrughna felt that the auspicious time is meant for the possessor of the object, and I am simply an object possessed by the master. So whatever auspiciousness comes to the master also comes to the objects he possesses. So I don't care separately for me. So he went at the same time as Bharat left to his uncle's place. So that is his service attitude to Bharat, that I simply want to be the servant of the servant. He says when Lakshmana gained the kingdom of service to Lord Ram in the forest, Shatrughna was satisfied and happy to be assisting Bharat to serve the devotee who is dear to the Lord. So in this way, and Shatrughna is called as one who destroyed his enemy. Shatrughna, Shatru means the enemy, Gna means one who destroyed. So what kind of enemy does the Shatrughna destroy? Practically, when we see whole Ramayana, there are so many fights that have taken place and so many have showed their valor. You know, Lord Ram killing and Lakshmana killing so many demons like Indrajit. Bharat, in fact, he went all over the planet in different directions when Lord Ram came back to Ayodhya, and he won over so many kings and brought the whole planet Earth under the control of Lord Ram. He did fight. But Shatrughna is rarely identified. The only one fight which is noted in the scripture is he fought with Lavanasura and established his capital in Mathura. But Shatrughna is, by name, is said the one who destroyed his enemies. So the Acharyas are saying that which enemy really Shatrughna destroyed. It said Shatrughna destroyed the enemy within his heart. That enemy is love for Lord Ram's beauty. So it is, the Acharyas are giving a poetic way of describing what is the enemy of Shatrughna. Enemy of Shatrughna is attraction towards the beauty of Lord Ram. How can that be enemy? We are all aspiring that one day we will be attracted to Lord Ram's beauty or Krishna's beauty. But here the enemy for Shatrughna is attraction towards the beauty of Lord Ram. In fact, when Sumitra, another amazing character of selflessness in Ramayana, when he sees Lakshman going to forest, she tells Lakshman, "My dear Lakshman, you should be very careful when you are going with Lord Ram. Make sure that when you are going behind Lord Ram, that don't get immersed in appreciating or enjoying the beauty of Lord Ram's from the back. And if you are absorbed in his beauty of his limbs, you may fail in your duty to protect Lord Ram from different directions. So be careful, don't get lost your heart in enjoying the beauty of Lord Ram." So in that sense, that like Dwarka was fanning Krishna, he is feeling the ecstasy, what he is feeling in serving Krishna is obstacle in service. So in that sense, enjoyment or service, when these two comes, service wins over the enjoyment. So Shatrughna, for him it is not that he doesn't have love for Lord Ram, but in spite of having attraction or obsessiveness towards enjoying the beauty of Lord Ram, he resisted that temptation rather, and he preferred to serve Shatrughna, Bharat, as a humble servant. So because he could do this mighty task, in that sense Lakshmana failed, that he was pulled by the beauty of Lord, attraction to the Lord, he went to the forest. But Shatrughna, he is actually indeed even far superior, because he could resist that attraction but stayed back and humbly and with love and happiness served Bharat as a servant of the servant of the servant. So indeed, his attitude of selfless service to Bharat is even appreciated more. Then we see the character of Vibhishana. Vibhishana actually took a risk of, he had his quite amazing situation in Sri Lanka. His own brother of Ravan had no problem with his security in life, family situated, but still he just rejected. Sometime when you hear the verse when Arjuna speaks, what if a person leaves, takes a spiritual life, neither he perfected his success in spiritual, he succeeded in spiritual life, or he is not fully successful in material life, in between what will happen to him? This kind of insecurity we hear. So Vibhishana, in one sense, when Sugriva surrendered to Lord Ram, he was actually in a predicament, because he lost the kingdom, he lost his wife, wealth, everything. He was helplessly surrendered. But Vibhishana is not in that helpless situation. If he just said one time yes to Ravana, Vibhishana would have been glorified and Indrajit would be loving him so much. He would be well situated. But Vibhishana surrendered to Lord Ram, in one sense, he taken a risk. Of course, such type of talking is, we are talking from our point of view. Vibhishana is such an advanced devotee, he would never even thought anything like that. But from a sadhaka point of view, he has taken a risk of leaving his kingdom. And he doesn't even know whether he will be accepted in the party of Lord Ram. That's what happened actually. He was standing on the sky, not even came down. And the Vanaras are having a meetings, and 99% of them actually rejected the idea of accepting Vibhishana. Only one person, Hanumanji. And Hanumanji also, because when Hanumanji went to Lanka, when he was tortured, when he was attempted to be humiliated by Ravana, Vibhishana is the only one person who supported Hanumanji. So Hanumanji's word is also kind of a loaded word, it could be seen, because Vibhishana helped me when I went to Lanka, so that's why I'm supporting him, so I accept him. So Hanumanji started his speaking by saying that, I'm not talking what my opinion of Vibhishana out of my, to show myself or for any other reasons, I'm speaking purely to show my love to you, Lord Ram. So he's the only person who supported Vibhishana. So he took a risk. And Vibhishana, because he surrendered to Lord Ram selflessly, as we heard in our South India Yatra by Surana Saradhanath Swami, that Vibhishana, his character was, his unique character in the family of Vibhishana, where Ravana in another sense wanted to enjoy Mother Sita and want to kill Lord Ram. And Shurpanaka, his own sister, wanted to do the opposite. She wanted to enjoy Lord Ram and kill Sita. But in the same family, Vibhishana, he wanted to just serve Sita and Ram, Lakshmi and Narayan, Radha and Krishna together. He wanted to see them together. He did not want to separate. That is a demoniac mentality of separating Lord and his devotees. But he wanted to unite both of them, wanted to see them together. And for that, he doesn't mind losing his kingdom, losing his property, wealth. He just came for that purpose. I just want to see Sita and Ram together. And when he did this service selflessly, as a byproduct, he got the Swarna Lanka as his own. He did not come to Lord Ram thinking that, okay, and if I come to Lord Ram, Ram is powerful, he will kill, you know, Ravana, and once Sita and Lord Ram is united, he'll go to Ayodhya and Lanka is mine. He did not come in that motive at all. He just came to serve Lord Ram and Sita together. And as a byproduct, he got Lanka also. But on the other hand, because Ravana wanted to do this heinous act of separating and Sita and Ram, he could neither succeed in that attempt. As His Holiness Ranath Swami said, that all the endeavor Ravana made, you know, taking this difficult task of convincing Maricha to go to Ghosts a deer, then changing his own form as a sannyasi, and so many lives were laid down for his behalf, his own sons were killed, all his endeavor he did to get hold of Sita, whom he thought as Sita, but actually Maya Sita. So Ramaswamy mentioned that so much he endeavored for something what he thought, but which is actually not. Maya means that which is not. So, and after that, the Maya by nature is material, nature is such that you want to go behind to enjoy that, and you think you are going to get it, and you do all endeavor, and in that attempt, not only you lose your own wealth and health and your own life, and you never get that also. So that's what happened to Ravana. So he lost his own life, he lost his kingdom, he lost his relatives, and he could not get the object what he wanted, what he tried all this for. So, but Vibhishana, he just had a simple desire, I want to serve Sita and Ram, selflessly. And as a byproduct, he got the material things also. In fact, when even before the bridge was constructed, Vibhishan surrendered to Lord Ram in we went to a place, Dhruvasan, Darbashayana or Tirupulani, we say. There he surrendered. And at this time, as soon as Vibhishan surrendered, Lord Ram immediately ordered Lakshmana to get water from the ocean and coronate him as a king. So now, it is amazing that the bridge is not yet constructed, the war is not even started, there is what will happen in the war, who will win, that is also not decided. And even before these things happen, Lord Ram suddenly tells Lakshman, coronate Vibhishan. The reason was, Lord Ram was afraid that when I was in Ayodhya, they tried to coronate me, and then I escaped from there, I came to Chitrakoot, and there Bharat was behind me, he was very much obsessed that I should be a king. And when I was going to the forest, Guha wanted to be the king of his place, he wanted me to stay there and they will be his subjects. And everywhere I go, they want to, you know, put the crown on my head. And he was afraid that when the bridge is constructed, goes to the Lanka and the war takes place and Ravana is killed, first question Vibhishan will ask is that, Lord Ram, you be the king of Lanka. So Lord Ram was fearful that Vibhishan is also going to ask me the same thing. So even before, just when Vibhishan is surrendered, it's like something like a new bhakta. Even before he starts understanding some principles, you know, even before he thought something like that, just in that condition, put a crown on his head and, you know, establishes, I won't have any problem. So he coronates him on that very same spot. And as soon as Lord Ram did that, this is the fever in his heart disappeared, the fear in his heart disappeared, that now I have no problem that, you know, I will be asked to be king of Lanka. So that is a quality of Vibhishan, selflessness. So in this way we find Shadrughna, one who destroyed the attraction towards Lord Ram, as a because that is obstacle for him serving Bharat, servant. So in this way whole Ramayana is filled with this selflessness. And also we see selfishness of Ravana. And Ravana was, when the war was going on, that when the demons are killed, Ravana wanted to throw them in the ocean to show to his enemies that our army is not very much destroyed, you know, as a war strategy. But Lord Ram was selfless, that he wanted to make sure that the whoever monkeys are killed, or their bodies are chopped off, their body should not be cremated or thrown in the ocean. Later they were revived. If Ravana would have done, they would have also been revived, because they were all thrown in the ocean, eaten by the crocodiles. So he doesn't want to show his army is destroyed. And Kumbhakarna, this we heard from Govind Prabhu, he said the other day, the Kumbhakarna, Ravana knew that if Kumbhakarna is woken from the sleep, he will be killed. That was a curse. He knows that. But still he was obsessed that for my victory, I should do something or other. I should do anything to, you know, win the war. So he woke up Kumbhakarna, his own brother. And that is selfishness. Gandhari, when he came to know that her son is destroyed, the sons were killed because of Krishna, her affection towards her children turned into her hatred towards Krishna. She cursed Krishna that because of you my sons are killed. Again, selfishness. But in the same hand, Mandodari, we see that her own affectionate husband is killed lying on the battlefield. But she did not blame that my husband is killed because of Lord Ram. She just lamented for his husband. She loved her husband. But she told that you died because of your own sin against a chaste wife, Sita. Because Mandodari as a chaste wife knows the power of another chaste wife, Sita. And she said that her chastity killed you, Ravana. She did not blame Ram kill her. So you see the selflessness exhibited by Mandodari versus the selfishness of Gandhari. So in this way, here we see in the Bhagavatam verse, Lord Ram is offering everything to the Brahmanas. And the Brahmanas are giving back to Lord Ram everything back. So, that principles of selflessness and offering everything back to the Lord, that is a prime factor of devotional service, Anya Bilashida Shunyam. And we hear throughout the history, that is the most important factor we see. When you see Prabhupada's story, life story also, that the devotees who surrendered to Prabhupada, Prabhupada said to the devotees, I am an old man, neither I have a beauty, nor I have wealth. I am just coming here and speaking Bhagavad Gita and people are giving their life to me. All these young boys are giving their life to me. So he Prabhupada wanted to say that I don't have any, I am not purchasing or buying people. I am just giving Krishna and they are surrendering to me. Prabhupada said about Malati Mataji, she said, to other devotees that I can cut my throat for her and she can slice her throat for me. So that is the beauty of pure devotional service, that selfless, unmotivated, unconditional service attitude. And that is what Krishna is looking for. And Krishna doesn't give that easily, because once he gives that, here Lord Ram is saying that please take everything, and the sages are saying, oh, my dear Lord Ram, what you have not given to us. So when the question is asked by sages, what you have not given to us, Vishwan Chakravarti Thakur says in this verse that when the sages are saying what you have not given to us, what the sages are meaning is that what you have not given to us, because you have given yourself to us and you are situated in our heart and are dissipating the ignorance, what else we want? So Krishna is afraid to give himself to, because if he once he gives himself to others, that is a very costly affair. So he gives everything else and keeps the people away. But when a person wants Krishna himself, that is a rarest thing one can get from Krishna. And that requires a selfless service attitude or surrender. So we pray to the parampara that we may develop this selflessness and purity of motive when we serve Krishna and their dear devotees. Hare Krishna. I'll stop here. Thank you for your patient hearing. Any comments, corrections, or questions? Thank you. We'll stop now. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.